didn't read and write.
Right.
So it doesn't work that way. And your meme of the day, Bob's chip bodies, they've been greasing up. And now they don't even use words to use words.
Yeah, they just use symbols and hand signals.
Yeah, and OMG, what's the BFD? We don't need to learn your words.
Yeah, okay, so then...
And your mind is very tricky because your mind doesn't really see the word. Anyway, it just sees the first and last letters. You think your little query where every single word is spelled incorrectly and it's just gibberish, but yet if you read it, you can read the sentence and understand what it means, and you don't know how you're able to do that. Well, how you're able to do that is that your mind only uses symbols.
What?
Your mind only uses the symbolism. And then takes the symbols and makes a practical application, as Marshall McLuhan so aptly stated and quoted, and Bob can give you song and verse, of exactly how the android meme is embodied in the dynamic of the words or the creations that are summoned from the dogmatic essence of the consonant, constant consonant of the vowel of the vowel.
Okay.
Emphasis supplied. We had to have one little Marshall quote. We were missing Bob.
Yeah, but you'll have to kind of didact that sentence for me and give you something that I can
sleep
on.
We'll run you next to Jesus. On you'll be all right.
And give me the Coles Notes version.
That you're going back to your symbols and they're becoming more important than your words. And that's what he was saying. Everybody laughed at him, and he was like, nah, you're right. What was I thinking? That sounds silly. Mm-hmm. And yet, he was laughing all the way through because it was.
Very good. Okay.
And so much was that it is.
Right.
So much is that it can be. So much can be that it's referenced as empirically true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these, what's the next logical thing that we should look at here? The books of Moses?
No, we got it.
Okay.
We got the point. Yeah. When you speak, that's why Ian tells the clients, if you want something, talk about it all day long, how you want a Snicker bar, and say it to everybody how you loved your Snicker bars. Right, Ion?
That's exactly correct.
Wow.
And then by default, it has no choice but to be your experience.
Mm-hmm.
You provide no other, you provide no other laudable conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other capacity made possible. That's why these drugs are giving these people all these problems. Because they say, take this, and there are certain side effects that make your liver won't work. You cannot see, you cannot pee, the golden years are killing thee. They undo the whole dynamic so much so that they'll embrace more of the side effects or causality than they do the benefit of what you're taking the damn thing for to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why your medicine's killing you.
Mm-hmm.
Even with no death.
Right.
So, you know, in a cartoon column, they might show a person speaks, says the word flower, and a flower will come out of the mouth, and then you'll hand it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoon. That's what goes on. You speak flower, flower is manifested.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And what's, I know this was just a novel, but he really emphasized...
Now, did you hear what you said there, my dear? It was just a novel. It was just written words. It was just introduced as a meme.
Right.
It was just embraced that it's just about almost now become a holistic religion.
Yeah.
It's just a tiny creation. It was just a little bloodline. It was just a little way to think about it a different way. It was just a little way to take on all of the papacy and question every dynamic that the Peter's church, not John's, but Peter's church, was built built upon. It was just a little whimsical thought that activated human creators to such a degree that they were just astoundedly dumbfounded by this delicious interaction with this fiction, piece of fiction, which has now been born again. It was just a little nothingness. Never mind. It was just a little...
Just a little tweet.
I was just tweeting one day.
But then they
got
it.
Just a little God.
But they got it wrong because they focused on the book.
But if you're not gonna, if we answered it, but if you didn't get that, what else you got to play with? Well, what else? Okay, you're done. Here's the thing.
Spoken word is more. But I'm just making the point.
It's the essence of all creation. Period.
And so how does that compare with the written word? That's all I'm trying to get at.
There is no significance to the written word.
Right. So
none.
Yeah.
Zero.
So what the focus of this just a novel is that it's all about the book, which just reinforces the whole left brain literacy kind.
So I guess that would be a novel concept to do it that way.
Right. And here's actually the foreword to the Masonic Bible. They wrote that out. Time is a river, and books are boats. Many volumes start down that stream.
Okay, Bill, so we have to restart there. Are you ready, Bill?
Yeah, just a second, Bob. Let me figure out where it should be.
It's about at the 50-minute mark, 5-0, and we're going to go about 60 minutes.
Okay, then go ahead.
So I didn't stop it. So that's okay, because it always stops. So now I started. And if you get a bit back what we already heard, that's okay, but not too far back. Okay.
It's Friday, May 24th.
I started the wrong one. Okay, here we go.
This is session number 220, recorded on December
11th. And came, and then someone had to validate that in his world and life. Okay, if that's what you want to say, then yes. They said sweet words over him and charged him, imbuing him with supernatural power, if that's what you want to say. But it's not really that way, because it's still not more powerful than the individual creator. Mm. You see? Because
I don't remember
spent
that,
all of
Bill.
His life telling God how he was less than.
No.
You
got to go
right,
back.
So what pass on the power and a flower will come out of the mouth.
At least we could do.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's like, I was the greatest bastard. We weaved our way through 4 years of asshole sub-level C,
no,
D,
no.
And E bastards. We finally got to the A level, the A-list bastards.
Yeah.
No,
and
back
then,
again.
What the secret is.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we just get to that and save all the pandering to get around to it?
Yeah.
That the power of all creation is in the spoken word.
Uh-huh.
Period.
Okay.
And if you get that, then you don't need anything else. And you can study till the Yashti comes. And it won't matter because the word is.
Now, what is real, I mean, that's very profound, very perfect that you grab that out right at the outset here, because they go on to say that it's all about the book. It's all about the written word.
Well, it doesn't. But see, written word, if it had to be written word, then God the Creator would be screwed if they didn't read and write.
Right.
So it doesn't work that way. And your meme of the day, Bob's chip bodies, they've been greasing up. And now they don't even use words to use words.
Yeah, they just use symbols and hand signals.
Yeah, and And OMG, what's the BFD? We don't need to learn your words.
Yeah, okay, so then...
And your mind is very tricky because your mind doesn't really see the words anyway. It just sees the first and last letters. You think your little query where every single word is spelled incorrectly and it's just gibberish, but yet if you read it, you can read the sentence and understand what it means, and you don't know how you're able to do that. Well, how you're able to do that is that your mind only uses symbols.
Oh,
what? Your mind only uses symbols. What? Your mind only uses the symbolism. And then takes the symbols and makes a practical application, as Marshall McLuhan so aptly stated and quoted, and Bob can give you song and verse, of exactly how the Android meme is embodied in the dynamic of the words or the creations that are summoned from the dogmatic essence of the consonant, constant consonant of the vowel of the vowel.
Okay.
Emphasis supplied. We had to have one little Marshall quote. We were missing Bob.
Yeah, but you'll have to kind of didact that sentence for me and give you something that I can
sleep
on.
We'll run you next to Jesus. On you'll be all right.
And give me the Coles Notes version.
That you're going back to your symbols and they're becoming more important than your words. And that's what he was saying, and everybody laughed at him, and he was like, nah, you're right. What was I thinking? You know, that sounds silly. Mm-hmm. And yet, he was laughing all the way through because it was.
Very good. Okay.
And so much was that it is.
Right.
So much is that it can be. So much can be that it's referenced as empirically true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these, what's the next logical thing that we should look at here? The books of Moses?
No, we got it.
Okay.
We got the point.
Yeah.
When you speak, that's why Ian tells the clients, if you want something, talk about it all day long, how you want a Snicker bar, and say it to everybody how you loved your Snicker bars. Right, Ion?
That's exactly correct.
Wow.
And then by default, it has no choice but to be your experience.
Mm-hmm.
You provide no other, you provide no other laudable conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other capacity made possible. That's why these drugs are giving these people all these problems. Because they say, take this, and, oh, there are certain side effects that may kill you. Your liver won't work. You cannot see. You cannot pee. The golden years are killing thee. They undo the whole dynamic so much so that they'll embrace more of the side effects than or causality than they do the benefit of what you're taking the damn thing for to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why your medicine's killing you.
Mm-hmm.
Even with no death.
Right.
So, you know, in a cartoon column, they might show a person speaks, says the word flower, and a flower will come out of the mouth, and then he'll hand it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoon. That's what goes on. You speak flower, flower is manifested.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And what's, I know this was just a novel, but he really emphasized...
Did you hear what you said there, my dear? It was just a novel. It was just written words. It was just introduced as a meme.
Right.
It was just embraced that it's just about almost now become a holistic religion.
Yeah.
It's just a tiny creation. It was just a little bloodline. It was just a little way to think about it a different way. It was just a little way to take on all of the papacy and question every dynamic that the Peter's Church, not John's, but Peter's Church, was built upon. It was just a little whimsical thought that activated human creators to such a degree that they were just astoundedly dumbfounded by this delicious interaction with this fiction, piece of fiction, which is now been born again. Yeah, it was just a little nothingness. Never mind. It was just a little.
Just a little God.
I was just tweeting one day.
But then
it was
they
just
got
a
it,
little God.
But they got it wrong because they focused on the book.
But if you're not gonna, if we answered it, but if you didn't get that, what else you got to play with? Well, what else? Which we okay, you're done. Here's the thing.
Spoken word is more. But I'm just making
the
point.
It's the essence of all creation. Period.
And so, how does that compare with the written word? That's all I'm trying to get at.
There is no significance to the written word.
All right. So
none.
Yeah.
Zero.
So what the focus of this just a novel is that it's all about the book, which just reinforces the whole left brain literacy.
So I guess that would be a novel concept to do it that way.
And here's actually the foreword to the Masonic Bible. They wrote that out. Time is a river, and books are boats. Many volumes start down that stream, only to be wrecked and lost beyond recall in its sands. Only a very few, endure the testings of time and live to bless the ages following.
Yeah, there's a yin-yang conspiracy between time and books to reinforce each other.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right.
Can't have one. Oh, it's true. It was written down.
Yeah, so I agree about the spoken word, so that's perfect.
That's why McLuhan said oral culture has a sensibility that makes reality. Oral culture, they know that you make when you speak.
Mm-hmm.
The guy says, how do I know the fact of stone without the word stone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's an Eskimo who says that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the thing
some
is...
Some of the stoners say that too, Bob.
The stoners.
Right. Right now...
So they go... Just to finish... I am just kind of finishing
up. Well, you don't
here.
Have to finish. Go through your notes. I thought there was a lot
you're
more.
You're doing great. Yeah, you're doing great, Connie. You're focused tonight.
Yay! I'm focused every time I talk to you, except when Bob's in the room.
I understand.
Okay, so...
And yet we love him still.
Absolutely.
Condescending bastards.
hey, we're the last bastion of bastards that are playing with you. You better behave.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's great. You guys waited so long that you're here.
It's the least we can do.
Okay, so then...
No, it really was the least we could do.
Yeah,
the least. Any less.
It's like, I was the greatest bastard. We weaved our way through 4 years of asshole sub-level C, D, and E bastards. We finally got to the A level, the A-list bastards.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So then there's some...
The rectum of reality.
So then there's some dialogue about why do you think the Bible has survived thousands of years of tumultuous history?
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Has it?
Well, it's got changed constantly, as far as I know.
Well, how old is this empirical reference document?
400 years.
Well, boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Not very long.
Uh-huh.
Well, there wasn't even writing.
Yeah, yeah. And
they didn't have the language to write.
Right.
Oh, except don't forget that ancient Samaritan Hebrew. Now, that's significant. But other than that, you see, it was all like the Masons, word of mouth.
Right, but I was saying that the Bible is only 400 years old because that's the King James version.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Gnostic Bibles were...
What Catholic Bible? What did the Bible, what did the Catholics have? They have a Latin Bible? They don't have a King James version, correct?
That's correct.
They could have more accuracy.
No, they don't.
Hmm.
They don't. They have the monk's version of the scriptures.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is subject to the cadence of the, is it a sect or an order? What do they call them?
An order, I think.
Okay.
Franciscan order. So do the Freemasons pass on the quote secret that when you speak, you create reality? Do they know that?
If, yes, they do know that, and without giving away, it's not our job to out them, okay?
Uh-huh.
So we're not, but we will give you some warm fuzzies regarding it. They understand that if your word stands, if your word is plumb and square,
mm-hmm.
okay, then it will stand. You will not unsquare your knowledge, meaning make it not straight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You will not, if your words are applied through the cycles of the Mason.
Your words will not apply. What was that, Carol?
You will not unsquare your knowledge if your words are applied through the cycles of the Masons.
You will not unsquare them. You don't want to unsquare.
Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. You want it to be plumb and square.
And
if you're plumb and square with every word you use, then you'll never be crooked.
Right, and you can stay on that path with Freemasonic knowledge.
That's the only knowledge there is. There's not much to this thing after that, Bob.
Yeah.
See, it peters out. That's it. Now you can go to the beach.
Okay, then they talk about how the different Gospels in the chapter spoke in parables, and they use that to say they were, you know, hiding wisdom. And they talked about the Gospel of John 4 warns, I will speak to you in parable and use dark sayings.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of talk about that.
Anomalies.
Evil, but then they said, no, its true meaning is it was shadowed or obscured from the light. So, again, hiding things. And then the parables have two layers of meanings, quote, milk for babes and meat for men. The milk is watered down. So all this talk.
But yet they're both proteins, aren't they?
Right. So then all this talk made me think of the Emerald Tablets and the origin. So when Moses was hanging out in Egypt, was he reading the Emerald Tablets?
Didn't have to read them.
He got them spoken to him?
That's correct. Very good.
Wow.
I was going to say, no, he was an ascended man, but would we say Moses was an
ascended? Not always. He didn't start ascending.
Right, gotcha.
So who spoke them to him? Was he right there with Thoth?
No, he was not with Thoth. He had... Do you understand when we speak of mantles?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a mantle. It's done to babies to this even today. Even today, a baby will come forth, a child, a marvelous creator, and humans will speak over this child.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes the layer of the mantle, the surround of a fireplace,
mm-hmm.
to a degree that it becomes what it's based upon, the life force.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's activatable.
We're talking about a mantle on a fireplace.
No, it's a mantle on a life.
It's a metaphor? It's some cloth?
Not a metaphor. Look it up.
It's a cloth or...
Speaking, a prophecy, words of whatever.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I'm smart.
No. It's not because you're smart. How did you know that?
I know
because
things.
The references of the, through in your scriptures, the mantle, when a human creator is ready to give up the ghost, they pass their mantle to their predecessor.
Mm.
And so and that is spoken, it's a blessing.
It is.
Blessing.
A bestowing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we talking about mantle in relation to Moses, was it? Is that what we were...
Well, no, we're talking about mantles as how you become in your ascension process of how far you go.
Yeah, we were talking about he didn't speak to Thoth. Then the mantle process came in. Somebody else mantleized
Correct.
Moses.
Yes. spoke those words, and those words took hold and became part of his beingness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who was it that did it to him?
These little Hebrews.
Little Hebrew UFO green men.
Hebrew-loids.
Were they human?
Funny they didn't look Jewish to us.
Yeah, were they humans, or...
Yeah.
No, they were future terrestrials, now terrestrials.
Yeah.
Now terrestrials.
Yeah, but we don't want to send you on a spiraling.
Not that simple.
It's not that simple. You can't quite get there from there. But you're very close to the basis of the understanding.
Yeah.
Because once you have the understanding, that's not even a question. The point is, did he get it from unrealized creations from the Gulf and came, and then someone had to validate that in his world and life? Okay, if that's what you want to say, then yes. They said sweet words over him and charged him, imbuing him with supernatural power, if that's what you want to say. But it's not really that way, because it's still not more powerful than the individual creator.
Mm.
You see, because Moses spent all of his life telling God how he was less than.
Right, so what how old was he when he was mantleized?
He had a 13.
Oh, okay. So somebody visited him, or was this authorized by the Pharaoh, or was this like a secret initiation?
What's the difference?
Well, did the Pharaoh do it then to him?
Never. He didn't know. Pharaoh didn't know.
Yeah, the ones that came and did this to Moses were not, it was not seen by others when they did it to him.
In the last books of Moses, the whole conversation as the Pharaoh and the God, which was God, remember Pharaoh was God?
Yeah.
The whole battle was Moses' God is more powerful than your gods. That's what it was all about.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da!
So there's a discussion between the Pharaoh and God.
Pharaoh who was a god and Moses who was a god.
And they said Moses' God is more powerful than your God. And here you are all Pharaoh of all of Egypt. Everything is that you flip your little cattail to shoo away the flies, and kingdoms fall. And here this Hebrew-loid comes in here and says what's going to happen and what's going to be, and let my people go, and speaking to God like he's a god. And then it comes to find out they decided that the whole gist of what caused them chariots to roll and Judah Ben-Hur to get all tangled up through the Roman Empire besides, was that they weren't going to have it. Moses' God was not going to be more powerful than their God. And that was the whole fall.
Who's Judah Ben-Hur?
Her.
Oh.
It's the reference of how the Romans got tangled up in the Egyptian story of old.
That later, at the time of Christ, or at the time of Moses?
Christ.
Okay.
Moses.
Yeah, the Ben-Hur movie. Okay, so back to...
Yeah, there's a very interesting part in here where there... Let me just Google it. They go into a few physical things, and...
I'm going to say, who's they, Carolyn?
Yeah, who's they, Carolyn?
The book writers.
Yeah,
we couldn't miss that opportunity.
Yeah, but Carolyn, who were we? We were just talking about the Moses and the Pharaoh at the end of the book. What was the question? And we didn't get that. What led to that? Why did he say all that? What was your question?
I was just asking.
The mantleization.
Moses.
And then who? It sounds like some special people privately came to him when he was 13.
Yes.
And Moses, unrealized creations, he wanted that, so it came to him.
Yes, and so it must have been in his reality, or it wouldn't have shown up in his beingness.
Right, and we're talking...
It was foreign, but it wasn't so foreign that it caught him unaware.
Yeah, so we're talking about this, about how did Moses know... Have his abilities, Carolyn.
Yeah, I asked a question about Moses' Yeah, I asked a question. So can I go on?
Yeah.
Okay, the hero in the book says, I'm pretty sure the scriptures describe in detail a physical temple that needs to be built. Because there was a lot of talk before that about, well, you know, man is the temple. And they, well, the other aspect of that, Bob, remember this, they're going on about how the temple is the mind. There's no talk about non-physical. It's, you know, body and mind.
Yeah. That's so, the book bias.
Yeah, totally. So he's saying, I'm pretty sure the scriptures describe in detail a physical temple that needs to be built. The structure is described as being in two parts, an outer temple called the Holy Place and an inner sanctuary called the Holy of Holies. The two parts are separated from each other by a thin veil. And then the woman in the book says, have you ever seen an actual human brain? It's built in two parts, an outer part called the dura mater, and an inner part called the pia mater. These two parts are separated by the arachnoid, a veil of web-like tissue. So I thought that was very interesting, where there's these veils described in the Bible and then in
Solomon's Temple.
Anatomy.
Is this Solomon's Temple that you're describing?
Well, the question would be, is there a correspondence or association with the thinning of the veil that we've been talking about?
No.
Okay.
They're talking about building veils.
Well, no, they're talking about recognizing separations.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
And so that goes all the way back. Now, Bob, we're going to have to engage a eureka on you here, mm-hmm. because that's the easiest way to get you caught up right quick to what we're talking about. The nuances of what they call the pea brains.
Pea brains.
You know, remember the version Insane in the Pea Brain?
Oh, Pinky in the Brain?
No, Bob.
Okay.
Eureka.
Oh, in the movie. Okay, the TV. What is the pea? That was the pea.
Those were particulates that allowed you to be in more than one space at one time, so you could dimensionally travel.
They had that in any of the Eurekas we saw, Carol?
Bob, you talked about it all day, every day. And the name of the show, particular one, was Insane in the Pea Brain.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah, and that's when they got under the beam and tried to translate. The thing was broken and they got stuck and all that. Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Well, that's a better analogy than what your book writers are trying to separate or bring up to the surface for you to understand. If you could activate a pea brain, organism or field particle generator that could allow that to be easily accentuated or known, then that would be a better way to understand the inner workings and the outer workings of the dimensions of the labyrinth of the mind.
Rather than having a temple demonstrated.
Well, the temple's okay because that's what they created and there's nothing wrong with it, but see, you immediately flip something to where the most human creators go, well, I'm not a Hebrewoid, and I don't know this, and I don't know how to get that, and I don't know why Solomon's so wise, and why he built this big house, and if Solomon was such a big goober, why couldn't he keep his temples, and why did they have to keep getting tore down? And you know, if it's so damn good, why didn't it last?
Okay, so that's the Carolyn, in the book, are they talking about rebuilding the Solomon's Temple, or just
no.
Any Freemasonic temple? Some special temple?
No, something in the scriptures talking about a physical temple that needs to be built. And then the woman goes to, well, our brain is the temple, and we have these temples in our head.
And they get off in that. But what part of the Bible is that in there?
Don't know.
This talk a little.
What's your...
Corinthians 3:16.
So Corinthians.
First Corinthians. So, Carolyn, Dan Brown is highlighting this temple quote.
Right.
And
also referenced in Chronicles 2.
Okay, so Chronicles 2 also. Chronicles 2 also.
Second Chronicles also.
So, Carolyn, they say this is to be done, or someone says, no, we don't need to build that because it's inside ourselves. That's what they're saying, forget that.
Right.
And why did you bring that up?
Well, I wanted to know if it had anything to do with thinning of the veil, if our... is our brain veil thinning in order for us to break down these conduits in our labyrinth?
The veils that they're speaking of would become the, can we use the word oscillary?
Yeah.
The oscillary walls of the labyrinth.
The what that they're talking about?
The veils that they're speaking of in the brain.
Yeah.
Become the oscillary walls of your individual labyrinth.
Ah.
So they do talk about veils in the brain, Callan?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that in the book.
Yeah, there's a...
The metaphor.
Dura matter, pia matter, and they're separated by a web-like tissue, a veil of web-like tissue.
That's biological facts.
Biological facts.
Yeah, so they're saying that's a metaphor for the outer temple I mentioned in Corinthians. And Ion's saying those are just celebrating the separations in your labyrinth.
Right, but then Ion just said the veils they're speaking about in the brain become the oscillary walls of your labyrinth mind. So,
you want to define oscillary? Is that oscillating, waxing, and waning?
Moving.
It's the building and the blocking and merging, girl.
And if you can move them out of the way at the right time, then you have more access, right?
You have Alzheimer's.
Which is good because you don't. Yeah, and your body gets healthy. Remember that, Carol?
Your body has no resistance and it actually allows itself to be whole without disease.
That's why I can't remember anything. I'm getting healthier and healthier, closer to Alzheimer's, Carol.
Well, but they use that as a bad thing.
Yeah.
All that happens is that people clear their slate.
Right.
All these cares of life that have been the big, horrible, terrible thing. People have had allergies so much so that they can't live. And they can't eat this, and they can't touch that, and they can't be in a room with peanuts and Fruit Loops or Looney Tunes or whatever that is. And then they finally slip out of that, what you call clinical Alzheimer's. And then they can eat all those terrible, horrible things that would kill them dead, and they have to have an EpiPen because anaphylactic shock would take them right out. All of a sudden now they catch themselves eating these very things that would have been their doom because of their labyrinth. And all of a sudden now there's no walls and so there's no doom.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. So in fact, and you said there was no association, but it does seem like this veil can be manipulated in the brain.
Yes, it can be manipulated in the brain, but that's not the parallel for the separation between physical and non-physical. Because you can have non-physical and have no brain.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
See,
okay.
It's an ifso facto.
Yeah, and you bring up physical, non-physical, and as I mentioned early on, they really are mainly talking about the body and the mind throughout, and the mind focused on the book learning. So there's really no talk about the spirit man or the non-physical.
Exactly.
Right. Now there is one thing actually about this, a meditator apparently, the human brain in advanced states of focus will physically create a wax-like substance from the pineal gland. This brain secretion is unlike anything else in the body. It has an incredible healing effect, can literally regenerate cells, and may be one of the reasons yogis live so long. Can Ian tell us more about this wax-like substance? Is it real, and does it do stuff?
Well, okay, if you're talking about the collection that would be controlled through the hypothalamus and the pineal gland, then those secretions are not anomalies that just to the shaman or the hoagie yogis or the crystal lickers or whatever you want to call that is a So we say, how do you get there from there? So the same way that a sugar diabetic, type 2 diabetic, has a decreased production of insulin, is that also an aspiration of enlightenment? They know it makes you less than. Well, you can take your body and become such a yogi. You can get so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. And so you could hang around for a whole very long time and nobody would ever notice, because nobody would ever care, because you'd be all tied up in your third range of yogidom. You know, when we go the stretching parts that you ascend to in the processes of quieting your mind.
Did you say ascend or offend?
So, yes, both.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that type of extremism and
working on this wax limited emission makes you rather stupid, because it's a natural process. You're just making too much out of a natural thing.
Yeah, because what I say in the beginning, the collections to the hypothalamus and pineal, those areas produce hormones naturally. So the yogis are just sort of focusing on the production of one particular type abnormally.
It's the same process that gave you opposing thumbs the first time.
This trading those hormones is part of our
making our opposing thumbs
maturation from the animal kingdom.
So the difference between you and the beast.
Those hormones are part of what differs us. Okay.
And made our thumbs different. So what's interesting is that these yogis go off, and this book is analyzing the chemistry of the brain. And all they have to know is that when you speak, you create reality.
Yeah, because otherwise everybody would be hairy, wouldn't they?
They would be hairy.
We'd still be animals.
If we didn't speak.
Well, but now beasts communicate.
Right, but so what, you know, well, what was your
point? We're trying to make the point is, as you come into a place of being follically challenged or not, if it's to line up everybody to be the same, you certainly would be able to grow hair on the bottom of your feet, would you not?
If everybody were the same.
If the waxing process that the yogis come to the place to guarantee them longevity on the planet, it would also sync them up so they'd all be hairy. They'd be, you know, hair growing out of everything and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're not explaining why that would happen.
Well, they can't either.
Well, I mean, it does happen.
What could is as likely as validating the point that you're going to get this bluey, sticky stuff in your brain that's going to make you live forever. Well, you get some of that and you could just say, well, then it's all is lost because everyone's no longer hairy. That would be an aspiration of living, of longevity, of how your growth of your hair is.
He's using it as a metaphor for the brain gluey stuff. The growing, the rule comes in, you got a lot of hair, you get more hair, you get immortal. It's the same ridiculous physiological symbol.
Exactly. And then you find one that's hairless, a hairless wonder.
And you kill him. You kill him because he's different.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't very fuzzy, was he?
Okay.
So the why are we getting into that? The hair thing. Oh, the brain. Is the difference between humans and beasts speech? Conscious use? I mean, the animals communicate.
No, because some humans can't speak. And some birds can.
Those that can't speak, can they create?
They certainly can.
All right, so we were saying that you create through the word, but you can also...
Now, that's the final frontier. The first line is thought.
And actually just...
sensory perception.
Yeah, and just probably to finish up what I've got.
He just said thought was extra sensory perception. Is that what you just said?
No, not extra. Since the first line of sensory perception.
Is thought. Thought is the first line of sensory perception.
When you have thought, then you run it through your senses to see how it's going to go.
So the process of creating through the mouth is the mouth is the last part of the process that begins with thought.
Yes, but see, creation can happen by pointing. If you can't speak, if somebody cuts your tongue out now.
All right, well, okay, communication. See, there's where Joyce Finnings-Wake talks about gesture as the first language. So,
and that's an outcome, that's an outsourced product of thought through sensory perception.
Right, so this point, Carolyn, we're coming full circle in a way, that speech is a secret. If you think speech is just your mouth emissions, then you're missing the point of McLuhan and James Joyce. Communication is creation.
Mm-hmm.
Gestural, whatever you're thinking.
Yes, yes, and the same thing. Here's another example that's not quite as graphic. When you do telemetry imaging.
I'm going to end there. We'll pick it up next week. Or not. Well, that part we'll pick up. All right, let me just unmute people.
All participants are now unmuted.
We got 14 minutes left in the show, so let's have some talk about what you heard. I'm not going to play the health thing this week. We only had a couple left, so I can put it off. Else I'd be here all night. So, does anybody have any thoughts, or are you all want to sleep? Only Bert heard the whole thing. Everybody else's mind.
I heard it.
Yeah. You have nothing to say about it all.
I've already said everything that I have to say about all that.
What, you type?
Constantly. No, I've been saying that for a very long time.
I predicted that, didn't I? I said what you would hear tonight, which no human's ever heard before, Sarah will say that she's been saying it. Remember I said that where I started?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how we fulfill the prophecies here and make up facts. You say what's going to happen, and then I'm like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, you did it.
Took my line from Bob and ran with
it.
Well,
you should have a lot more to say then. You should have a lot more to say.
Well, I think those who know that there's not much to be said there.
Yeah, let's hear from Roxy. You want to hear what someone has something to say about it. You'll hear Roxy.
Yeah, that's what I would like to hear is someone that has something to say about it. Or I wouldn't like to hear that, but that's more interesting than the truth. Yeah.
Well, it's good that I'm ending now because there's nobody here to talk about it. Hey, nobody here to talk about it.
Well,
hi, Bob.
Yes, Sean. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, it was just going into the bit where, because Aaron said the power of all creation is in the spoken word, but I sort of knew there's more tactility involved in the whole thing, and then it just sort of ended on where he said a point of a finger can create. So there's so much dynamics to take on here. It's really almost left me speechless.
Yeah. That's right. And Sarah didn't know this. She didn't know to say that. She thought she could say it if she had the words, but she didn't.
What, that God missed Adam, so he was reaching his hand out, and Adam was like, I guess I stick a finger towards God. Yeah, I feel like I've watched the whole thing happen. Yeah, it's sad to me.
Oh, jeez. How could, there's your emotion.
I mean, it's nostalgic. I'm nostalgic about it.
Still emotion. Still emotion. So, Sean, what'd you get from different things you heard? You're speechless.
Yeah, there's been so much. I mean, from all the stuff of the laying of the grid and there's the no power lines going into Washington, that was... Very good stuff.
Did you get the emails I sent you, Bob? I'll put the pictures on my post.
I haven't read your emails.
I want to tell you that.
I haven't read your emails because I'm listening to the recording. Can't concentrate on the email. I have not opened them yet.
And you shouldn't. You don't need to. I'm just telling you. They're part of my attaché carry-on when I venture into the land of El Dorado and the far-off islands of Kaiti.
All right. Shall I play some music, Sean? Then we'll end the show.
You have to, otherwise I'm going to tell you how to use those underground tunnels. So you're going to have to play something, or I'm going to have to hang out.
Music will just pull us back together again. We've just heard loads of things, Bob.
Yeah, large things. Ah, here comes somebody. Yes, Bert. Wasn't that awesome, Bert? I know it takes you a second to connect. Yes, Bert.
Bob, you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, that's incredible what you just played.
Man. That's probably the most incredible fucking thing. We're in big trouble now. They're going to crucify
you. Yes. But no, you got the protection. But Bob, you just solved a maybe a 50-year mystery with me. Because I grew outside of Washington, D.C., and we used to take field trips when I was in elementary school, and I always wondered why it seemed like when we went into Washington, D.C., I was like fucking really weird feeling the whole time I was there.
Yeah.
And then even as an adult, whenever time I went to Washington, D.C., I always wondered why I felt weird. And you just...
Yeah, we had the same experience. I had the same experience, Carolyn. I had it. Oh, yeah, we don't like Washington. Yes.
No, man. That's why if you see on the Goober Snatcher, I was like, dude. And I was like, my, you just solved a 50-some-year mystery.
Right,
about
Washington. And you're saying, what does do mean to you? Yes? Does do mean yes?
You're going yes.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. What happened in Virginia?
No, he outlined like Crystal City, Arlington. He outlined that whole labyrinth that whole terrarium he was talking about. I mean, because even when I went to Virginia, I was like,
I think he, no, Bert, he said they are not included.
Okay.
Arlington.
I have to listen to that.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, I have to listen
again. It's a bit awkward. As usual, he fucks his verbs up, so he's going in one direction and ends up in the other direction. But I think he was saying that Washington is different. Like, you got power lines and all that in Arlington, Fairfax, Virginia, and places, I think.
Have you ever noticed that?
There's no power lines in Washington?
Yes. Yes. And that's why I was like, oh, my goodness. Yes.
I knew you would be going that way because I knew you were near there. I said, Bert's going to freak when he hears this.
Whew. That's wow. Wow. Well, just everyone, it's all open now.
We've drained. I think that's incredible. Ian says that it was a swamp. Nobody wanted Washington, D.C. It was a swamp.
Yes.
And then
Trump said that. Drain the swamp.
Yeah, drain the swamp. And the swamp is run by what we just heard. So I just drained the swamp. That means Trump's going to fucking do it. I did it first. I laid down the grid.
Yeah. Wow. And that grid line in D.C. Man, I Bob, thank you so much, my brother. You just really just solved it. I mean, you just healed.
Yeah.
I just got a demonic healing. I just got a demonic healing because, my goodness. That's
right. You can discount this one. You can deny it. It was a demonic healing. Not relevant. Forget it. Didn't happen.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I wonder if that'll get circulated. I wonder if that'll get circulated much once we post it.
Bob, if they're listening, they're probably spooked because you have released so many secrets in the last 5 years that, I mean, the fuckers should be around if they're listening, but they're probably scared shitless. especially now with Korea is now uniting. I mean, that's what, how 60 some years or whatever, whenever, no.
1953 was the end of the war, 53. So, wow. 60 years, 65 years.
65 years. I mean, and wow. I mean, that goes back to the whole thing you start talking about, you're going to redo the 60s. Remember we always said that?
Yeah. We're going to redo the 60s with everybody united. Now, did you just say, I've released so much stuff in, I would say, the last 3-4 months. Did you say 5 years?
5 years, Bob. Bob, yeah. you're, some of the stuff that you've released in the last 3 weeks, in 2013, you released segments of it, like Discern.
Yep.
Okay, in the 64, you released segments of it. But I tell you, that's why I said to Gene, I said, you know, I'm right now in 2009 because I'm seeing this or whatever you want to say. But when I heard this, that 64, you know, the Mystery 64, the whole field tape, boy, there's a lot. The whole links, I mean, the links are in that and as well. All of those tapes you released that I've heard before, but the full session, there's so many links in there that I'm glad I'm able to talk about it so that I don't really look like I'm crazy, but
yeah, listen to this. I just realized it. When you re-listen to it, and talk about the mantleization of Moses, they talk about passing on the knowledge, the wisdom, or the mantle to the predecessor. Predecessor comes before, but Ian is talking about how the Bible is backwards, or life is backwards. So we presented all kinds of information the last 5 years, but we've been going backwards, and Ian laid it all out the first few months. We created a replay of the Bible.
Right. Even I ain't talked about they open up the books of Moses, and I'm like, oh, hello. I mean, that's what you've done.
Yep. It's pretty incredible. And all Sarah can say is, yeah, I knew all that. But see, she hasn't got anything to say. She doesn't say a bunch of stuff that then sparks me to tell you some other stuff. Like the predecessor and the fact that I just realized we're doing the Bible. Our stuff is meant to be heard backwards. So you just start, we tell people, okay, do I go back to the beginning? No, you go to, wait a minute. If they listen to this now, they got there too late. No, you got to go back to the beginning. You got to go back to 2009 and work your way up to now, but it'll bring you back to the 2009 we didn't tell you at the beginning. So you're kind of going backwards.
Yeah, but that's what blew my head off this week. That I was like, my goodness, I can't wait to talk to Bob. Is we've been I do a personal thing. I've been playing with Ian, listening to Ian since 2011, started engaging Ian since 2014. And then when I heard about that, there's no time in chemistry, I'm like, fuck. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means?
Yeah, you just said you know what that means.
No, I was saying that to myself all week. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That there's no chemistry timing. You've been engaging Ion. Ion's laying out all this information with words and talking to Bob and Carolyn. And I mean, it's just incredible. In-fucking-credible.
Hey, way better than Edgar Casey or anybody else. Oh, way better than the Bible.
Yes. But it includes that. I mean, he's talked about Edgar Casey. I mean, he gave, 2 weeks ago, he said he gave, it was a quatrain from Nostradamus and some case reading on Edgar Casey in which, and I don't remember the theme, but it was something that happened in the past, and they both of us up. Nostradamus saw it, and Edgar Casey saw what they were talking to you about. Something about CERN or I don't remember, because as I said, everything is closing in on me, Bob, but it's really amazing what you're sharing, man. Crazy. Hello? We on? Bob? Am I on?
I can hear you, Bert, but I can't hear Bob.
Yeah, Bob must have got to come. Hey, Juan, what do you think? What did you hear? How do you feel?
Oh, I'm